We've been looking at different meetings. Meetings between God, either in Jesus or before the coming of Jesus, to people in and around them. We're now looking at the meeting between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea. John chapter 18 and verse 28. From Caiaphas, the high priest, Jesus was led into the governor's headquarters. It was now early morning, and the Jews themselves stayed outside the headquarters to avoid defilement, so that they could eat the Passover meal. So Pilate went out to them, and he asked, "What charge do you bring against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we should not have brought him before you." Pilate said, "Take him away and try him by your own law." The Jews answered, "We're not allowed to put any man to death." Thus they ensured the fulfillment of the words by which Jesus had indicated the manner of his death. Pilate then went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus said, "Is that your own idea, or have others suggested it to you?" "What? Am I a Jew?" said Pilate. "Your own nation and their chief priests have brought you before me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If it did, my followers would be fighting to save me from arrest by the Jews. My kingly authority comes from elsewhere." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "King is your word. My task is to bear witness to the truth. For this I was born. For this I came into the world. And all who are not deaf to the truth, listen to my voice." Pilate said, "What is truth?" And with those words, he went out again from the praetorium to the Jews. "For my part," he said, I find no case against him. "But you have a custom that I release one prisoner for you at Passover. Would you like me to release the king of the Jews?" Again the clamor rose, "Not him! We want Barabbas!" Barabbas was a bandit. Pilate now took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and robed him in a purple cloak. Then time after time they came up to him crying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him on the face. Once more, Pilate came out of the praetorium and said to the Jews, "Here he is. I'm bringing him out to let you know that I can find no case against him." And Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak. "Eci homo," "behold the man," said Pilate. The chief priests and their henchmen saw him and shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" "Take him and crucify him yourself," said Pilate. "For my part, I find no case against him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he's claimed to be Son of God." When Pilate heard that, he was more afraid than ever. And going back into his headquarters, he asked Jesus, "Where have you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" said Pilate. "Surely you know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you." "You would have no authority at all over me," Jesus replied, "if it had not been granted you from above. And therefore, the deeper guilt lies with the man who handed me over to you." From that moment, Pilate tried hard to release him, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you're no friend to Caesar." Any man who claims to be a king is defying Caesar. When Pilate heard that they were saying this, he brought Jesus out of the praetorium and took his seat on the tribunal at the place known as the pavement, Gabbatha in the language of the Jews. It was the eve of Passover, about noon. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They shouted, "Away with him! Away! Crucify him!" "Crucify your king," said Pilate. "We have no king but Caesar," the Jews replied. Then at last, to satisfy them, he handed Jesus over to be crucified. Pontius Pilate was a Roman of the equestrian or upper middle class. In AD 26, the emperor Tiberius appointed him the fifth procurator of Judea. By virtue of this appointment, he had full control of the province, being in charge of the army of occupation, which consisted of one ala, or wing of cavalry, about 120 men and horses, and five cohorts of infantry, about 4,000 men. They were stationed at Caesarea on the coast, with a detachment in the fortress of Antonia in Jerusalem. The procurator had full powers of life and death and could reverse capital sentences passed by the Sanhedrin, which had to be submitted to him for ratification. He controlled the temple and its funds, and the very vestments of the high priest were in his custody. He only released them for religious festivals when the procurator took up residence in Jerusalem and brought additional troops to patrol the city. The Jews were a difficult people to rule in the sense of having to swallow hard and falling over backwards to accommodate their quirky religious scruples and attitudes. But one secret of Roman rule was to respect and cooperate with the lex gentes, the law of the people, the law and customs of the local people. Previous procurators had managed to do this, but Pilate did not have a very auspicious start to his procuratorship. His first action on taking up his post was to antagonize the Jews by setting up Roman standards bearing the images of the emperor in the holy city of Jerusalem. Other procurators had avoided using such standards in Jerusalem. After a standoff, he removed the standards to Caesarea. Then he got in a similar jam with a number of golden shields. After the Jews appealed to the emperor, Tiberius ordered the shields to be removed. Pilate then used the temple treasury funds, holy money, to build an aqueduct to supply the city with water. Tens of thousands of Jews protested, and Pilate ordered his troops in disguise to kill many of them. It's referred to in the Gospels where Jesus says, "You think those whose blood was mingled with the sacrifices were bigger sinners than you?" This riot did not go unnoticed in Rome. King Herod was not well disposed to Pilate because Pilate had executed some of Herod's subjects without reference to him. This complaint also got back to Rome. So Pilate could not afford another mistake and certainly not another riot. The question would be raised, was he the right man for the job? So it was this Pilate, with this background and this history, who found that his path was destined to meet and to cross with that of Jesus. When you or I come to execute justice, whether at work or at school or with our children or with the influence we might have over our friends, we come with baggage. No one executes justice in a vacuum. There are always pressures and temptations, conscious or unconscious, to lead us to what is expedient rather than what is just. How often have you and I fallen foul of this trap when unwittingly our paths in the area of justice have met the path of Christ? But in John's gospel account, there is far more than even this salutary lesson. There was some controversy years ago over Mel Gibson's film The Passion of Christ, and it centered on an accusation of anti-Semitism. But if we were to apply this to the Jews in John's Gospel, it would be to misunderstand John's Gospel. In the prologue to the Gospel, we're told the Logos became human and that he was